Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi there! I'm Cindy Linden, and this is the Cook Along Podcast. Today we're going to try something a little adventurous. I have been asked by a few people for my recipe for roasted sweet potato risotto with peas and parmesan and gruyere. And okay, that's a really long title and I probably should shorten it, but that tells you what it is. I have been a little hesitant to do a risotto because they are exacting and they take kind of a while to make. A lot of people feel as though risotto is probably out of their league, and that's totally not true. It's within anybody's league, but it takes a lot of steps, and it takes a concentrated amount of time at the end. So I am going to guide you through the steps to make this. This is a main dish risotto, but it happens to be vegetarian. Before you start, here are a couple things you need to know about risotto. First, you can't make it ahead. You really have to serve it the minute you finish it because it kind of congeals as it cools and it doesn't reheat well. So you really want to get it on the table while it's creamy and before it gets stiff. The second thing is that the actual making of the risotto takes probably 30 minutes, and during those 30 minutes, you are not walking away from the stove. You have to be right there stirring it. So everything else that you're going to do for that meal has to be done ahead. For instance, if you want a salad with this risotto we're about to make, you want to make that ahead of time. If you want a bread or an anything to go along with it, you need to have it ready to go before you start cooking the risotto. The first step for this recipe is to roast the sweet potatoes. When I first did this recipe, I did it with butternut squash, and it was good, but it wasn't sweet enough. The butternut squash is a little too bland for this dish, and so I'm recommending the sweet potatoes. There are a couple of other do-aheads. You're going to need some Parmesan cheese. You're going to need 1/4 cup of grated Parmesan, and I do hope you're using the fresh stuff. I never use that boxed stuff. You can get this whole and you can grate it yourself at home, or you can get it in the grocery store already grated, but not the boxed stuff. No little silver cardboard boxes, please. The other thing is you need some Gruyere. You need 1 cup of shredded Gruyere. You gotta take the time to shred that. The third do-ahead is to, well and truly this time, I'm not kidding, have everything set out on your counter before you begin. A lot of this happens really quickly, and you need to have everything. You can't stop stirring the risotto in order to go get something out of your cupboard or cut something up. You need to have it ready to go and lined up on your counter. And so, that being said, here's the list of ingredients. 2 cups of diced roasted sweet potatoes, and we'll roast those together in a minute. 1 1/2 cups of arborio rice. This is a very special rice. You can't just use regular old rice. This is a kind of rice that makes a creamy yet al dente result. You need 4 cups of chicken stock. That's quite a lot. That's a full carton if you're using an aseptic container. You need 1/2 cup of white wine. I suppose you could replace that with water, but it's not going to be the same. Don't worry about alcohol or even taste. It all kind of evaporates, but it evaporates into the rice, so that's nice. You need a medium shallot or a half of a small onion. A small onion is probably the size of a racquetball. And you just need half of that, and we're going to have to chop that up, but we can do that later. You'll need 3 tablespoons of butter. You need a tablespoon of vegetable oil, and actually a little bit more than that probably. You need the Parmesan cheese. That's 1/4 cup again. You need 1/2 teaspoon of sage, 1/2 teaspoon of cumin, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1 clove of garlic, because we're going to press it, so it really should be real garlic, 1 cup of frozen peas, 1 cup of shredded Gruyere I told you about, and some fresh ground pepper. We should also talk about equipment. You do have to have more than one saucepan. You need 2 saucepans for this, and it's best if one of them has a nonstick surface. You also need not a metal spoon, but either a wooden spoon or a silicone spoon, because of the way that we part the Red Sea. You'll know what I mean about that when we get to the part where we're actually stirring the risotto. So now let's roast a sweet potato. Truthfully, if you wanted to make a shortcut on this recipe, you don't have to roast the sweet potatoes. You could steam them, you could saute them, you can even microwave them. I just happen to want them caramelized because I like the sweetness that that develops and the brown exterior, and I think the texture is nice, but it's really not that big of a deal. If you're looking for a shortcut, the place to take it is here in how you pre-cook the sweet potatoes. You need about 1/2 pound sweet potato, so about 8 ounces worth, I think. We're going to have to double check that. But I'm trying to get 2 cups of cubed sweet potato. This might be a little small, in which case we'll add to it, because you want enough sweet potato to show up to people's taste buds. And you need a small rimmed baking sheet, cookie sheet. And we're going to preheat the oven to 425. And then we're going to peel the sweet potato. I do not suggest that you leave the skin on for this one, because the risotto is really smooth. And you don't want the skins to disrupt that consistency. So peel them off. I guess I could have called that a do-ahead. Use a potato peeler to peel the skins off. And then we're going to chop it into small cubes. I'm going to use cubes. They're probably 1/2 inch. 1/2 inch squares. Only they're not squares because a sweet potato isn't square. You want them big enough that they're going to be findable in the risotto. And small enough that when you take a bite that has sweet potato in it, you also have room on the fork for the risotto. So I'm just slicing these in about, I would say they're 1/2 inch to 3/4 inch slices. And then I am cutting those pieces in quarters or sixths, depending on the size of the slice. Yeah, okay, some of these are bigger. This doesn't matter. I started to tell you I'm doing 2 cuts in one direction and 2 cuts then crossways to that. But you know, it doesn't make any difference because your sweet potato is not going to be the same size and shape as mine. So I'm going to let you figure that out. You want little bite-sized pieces. You want things that are going to blend right in with that rice. Okay, now I'm going to see what that got me. There's 1 cup. Yeah, okay. This is a little scant. Oh, it's really, really close. All right, I'm going to say that's good. So, yes, 1/2 pound sweet potato peeled and diced into small cubes. Put those in a bowl and drizzle them with about 1 tablespoon of olive oil. And then take a spoon and stir them up. And then grind some sea salt into them. Not a ton, but enough that you could be able to taste it. Stir that in again and throw that whole thing, throw them onto your cookie sheet in a single layer. And I'm going to leave you with this. I'm actually going to cut a few of these pieces a little smaller. I'm going to leave you with this because we can't do anything until the oven is hot. So here's what you're going to do. You're going to get your pieces diced. You're going to coat them in oil and a little salt, throw them on the cookie sheet. And when your oven reaches 425, you're going to roast them. Just throw the cookie sheet in your oven for maybe 20 minutes. Check them at 15. And you want them to be kind of starting to brown on the bottom. When you try to turn them over, you should see some little golden brown starting to show up at the bottom. And then take them out, and we will consider that do-ahead taken care of. And when you come back, we'll move on to the next step for the risotto. And while the sweet potatoes are roasting, you can grate your Parmesan and shred your Gruyere. The other thing you can do while you're waiting for your potatoes to roast is to cut up your shallot or half of your small onion. Again, you want that kind of diced. You don't want it very big. You need about a half a cup of diced shallot or onion. And compile all your stuff on your counter next to the stove. It's okay and even a good idea to put all of the seasonings in the same container. So your sage, your cumin, your salt, your ground pepper, and just grind some in until you feel like it looks like enough. Put those all into the same container, and then we'll just dump them all in at the same time. It's also a good idea to get your frozen peas out and let them start to defrost, because they shouldn't be frozen when you put them into the risotto. If you need to, you can rinse them in a colander to just kind of separate them and get them softened up a bit.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Okay, here we go. Pour all of the chicken broth into a saucepan big enough to hold it and turn it on to medium high. You just want it to heat. As soon as it starts to kind of steam, we're going to turn it way down. In a second saucepan, which probably should be about 3 quarts at the minimum, we're going to put a tablespoon of canola oil or vegetable oil and a tablespoon of butter. And we're going to heat that up. But we're not going to turn that pan on until the broth in the other pan is hot. As the broth is heating up, we can deal with the garlic. So chop off the little dead brown end. And then squish the garlic flat with the flat side of your knife. And the case will peel right off. And put that in your garlic press. Get it ready to squish. If you don't have a garlic press, you can just mince it. Once your broth is hot, which mine now is, it does not need to boil. It just needs to be steaming. Turn it way down to low. We want to keep it warm. It doesn't need to be hot. It needs to be warm because we're going to mix it in with the rice and we don't want that cold. So now we can turn on the other pan, which has the butter and the oil in it. Turn it on to about medium high. And the butter is going to melt. And as soon as it starts to melt, we can throw in the garlic. And I'm just going to squish the garlic right over the pot and into the pan and then scrape it off with a knife. Get your wooden spoon or silicone spoon ready because you're going to need it pretty constantly at this point. Okay, butter is melting. and I am squishing in the garlic. And what I do is I press it tight, and I scrape it off the bottom with the knife. And then I open the thing, and I put all the bits that still remain into the squishing part. And I squish it again and scrape it off with a knife. And then I imagine a lot of people would argue with me at this point because you supposedly don't want the outside of the garlic. But you know what? The skin is already gone, so I don't see the difference. What you have inside that little basket where you've been squishing things is also squished garlic. So I scrape it out of there and into the pan. And also into the pan is going the onion slash scallion, whichever one you had. Just put it all in there. And we're gonna just cook it, the garlic and the onions together, until they start to get a little bit translucent and a little tender. Meanwhile, on your counter, you have ready in a line, you have your rice, your white wine, your herbs and salt and pepper, your vegetables and your cheeses, and some butter, because you're going to need that again. We use the butter at the beginning and at the end. And yes, you could use margarine on this. I won't, because as you probably know if you ever listen to me, butter is my thing. I really like it. I never watched Julia Child, but I did see the movie Julie and Julia, and that was my first real exposure to Julia Child's philosophy. She believes in lots of butter. In fact, I would say more butter is better. And I don't disagree with her, except, you know, if the recipe asks for a certain amount, that's what you should do, which is what we're doing today. We're stirring the onion and the garlic together, and it's just starting to sizzle a little bit. This doesn't need to be stirred constantly, really. If there's anything you have to run around and do to get things in a lineup, now's the moment to do it. Because as soon as these are translucent, then we start into the part where you do have to stir continuously for 20 minutes or so. I was thinking about this earlier today, this dish. I was thinking about the fact that I never heard of risotto when I was growing up. There was no such thing. There was no such thing as a lot of stuff. There was no such thing as, in my life, I should say that, as pesto. In fact, there was no such thing as pasta, for that matter. We called it noodles or spaghetti or macaroni. Pasta is kind of highfalutin. It's yes, it's the same thing, but there was no such thing as pasta in my house. Also, you know, we're putting sweet potato in here. The only time I ever had sweet potato was Thanksgiving, and then it was cooked with so much brown sugar and butter that I don't want that with my savory stuff. That's weird. It makes it like dessert. And I didn't really understand that you could just cook sweet potatoes and eat them with like salt and butter and herbs or whatever until kind of late in my life. All right. I'm thinking these onions are starting to look pretty good. Maybe you can hear them sizzling. So now let's add the rice. You got a cup and a half of arborio rice. That's A-R-B-O-R-I-O. I hope you know that by this point because it's kind of late for me to tell you. Just dump it in there with the oil and the onions and stir it around. And the object of the game here is to get all the little granules of rice coated with a layer of the oil slash butter. And then we're just going to kind of toast it here a little bit. We don't want it to brown, but we want to get the grains to start turning a little bit also translucent and start to smell a little bit like rice, which is going to be, it's going to be tricky to tell, honestly, over the onions and garlic. But it should have a little bit of a smell to it. You're not trying to brown it. You're not trying to fry it exactly. You're coating it in oil and hopefully letting some of the outer shell of the rice soak some of that in for a few minutes. Not even a few, like 2 minutes. I could just let this sit here, but that's not the kind of person I am. I like to stir stuff. I like to see what's happening. It's kind of dumb. No, actually it isn't, because I don't want it to burn. And I've got this pretty high. Oh, there, I am starting to smell it. All right, I'm going to turn this down just a little bit. So now it's at medium, which on my stove is a 5. And it's also starting to sizzle a little bit. All right, away we go now. Take your cup of wine, your white wine, and pour it in. And stir that around. What we're doing is allowing the rice now to absorb that. Part of it's going to evaporate off, and part of that flavor is going to soak into the rice a little bit. And this is where we begin the process of watching how cooked the rice is. And I will try to post a picture of this. I'm not sure how I'm going to be able to get it, but I'm going to post a picture of it. As soon as the, as you stir around the rice in the bowl here, in the pan, and you can tell there's no liquid left. Now we're going to start with the chicken stock. So you need a ladle. I should have told you that earlier. A ladle, and scoop in 1 ladle of your hot chicken broth and stir that in. And again, what we're doing is allowing the rice to soak it up. And the test for when we're going to add the next ladle is when you run your spoon, your wooden spoon / silicone spoon, straight back from the edge to the center. Run it in a line from the edge of the pan to the center, and it makes kind of a valley. This is what I was calling earlier the parting of the Red Sea. It makes kind of a valley, and it doesn't fill in immediately. There's this little delay before it fills in. As soon as that happens, you're going to add a second ladle. I'm turning this down again, turning it down to a 4, because it just doesn't need to be this hot. And you do the same thing. Stir in the liquid. Right now it's like rice soup, right? And if you try to make that parting of the Red Sea now, you don't get it. It's just liquid. There's just soup there. So keep stirring it. Keep stirring it. And it slowly gets thicker. But we don't want to add more broth until the Red Sea parts and leaves the valley for Moses and company to walk through there if they walk really, really fast. So back to what I was saying earlier. I also never ate squash as a kid. We're keeping stirring while I'm talking. Keep stirring. I never ate squash. I didn't know what squash was. I didn't learn I liked squash until, just a few years ago, really, I realized that, again, squash doesn't have to be cooked with a ton of brown sugar. Okay, I'm starting to get that little river thing. I'm going to see if I can get a picture here. It's going to be tricky. Because there isn't a lot of time. And I need my fingers for the stirring part. Okay, there's the camera. Oh no, too late. I have to wait. So, you don't want it to completely dry out. Get your next ladleful of broth and add that in. And here we are again. We got soup. Where was I? Oh, squash. Squash was also cooked with a ton of brown sugar and maple syrup and all that stuff. And that's fine if you like that kind of thing. But you know, I really love the sweetness of the squash contrasted with something savory. Butter and salt, pepper and shallots, garlic and cumin. I just think, anyway, you know, my mother was a good cook. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to imply that she wasn't. But the diet was limited, and maybe that was true of most people in the country. At the time that I was growing up, it was like meat and potatoes, and if we had something Italian that might have noodles in it, it was spaghetti, and that was it, really. Later, she started making casseroles out of, like, elbow macaroni. And by the way, the macaroni could be any shape. It could be elbow macaroni, or it could be shell macaroni, or it could be, I don't know. I don't even remember what we had, but I know it wasn't pasta. It was not called pasta. Okay, I'm going to try now to get that picture again. Here we go. Okay, adding the next ladle of chicken broth. Stirring it constantly. You know, I think I'm probably most of the way through, maybe halfway through my chicken broth. You must be too, because you've been cooking along with me with the same number of ladles. I am going to now, do I want to throw in the herbs now? You know, I do. I want them to cook in. So I'm taking my container that has the salt and the sage and the cumin, however you want to say it, and the ground pepper, and I'm stirring that in now. Yeah, okay. Well, that changes the smell quite a lot. Just keep testing for that Red Sea part. Anyway, so I love squash now. I love squash. I love it stuffed. There's a recipe on the website. Oh, which, by the way, is thecookalongpodcast.com. There's this one. There will be more eventually. Right now, this one isn't squash. I'm sorry, I forgot. Because the first time I made this, as I told you, I used a butternut squash for it. And you could do the same thing that we did with the sweet potato if you'd rather use the squash. You just peel it, scoop out the seeds, chop it into little bite-sized pieces, roast it exactly the same way we did with the sweet potato. All right, this is still cooking kind of hot. Turning it down even more. Now I've got it to 3. And I'm adding the next ladle of broth. So my mother cooked mostly, what do I remember? I remember steak. I remember T-bone steaks. That was fun. I used to eat a whole T-bone steak all by myself, and that was a point of pride for me. Of course, you know, I was a teenager at the time. But holy smoke, I couldn't do that now. I remember baked potatoes. There were things with tuna. There was no such thing as pizza at the time that you would eat at home. I mean, there was no such thing as takeout pizza. So we didn't eat pizza until I was in high school, I think, when the first pizza joints were, well, that's not true. I'm sure they were there before that, but that's when pizza entered my life, was in high school. All of this is really off topic for what we're doing, but it just goes to show how cuisines change, how people's tastes and expectations change, I guess, because my mother's never had risotto. I guess I should feel bad about that as I'm standing here cooking risotto, that I've never made it for her, although I don't know that she'd like it. I think that in addition to including more foods in our diet as the nation has grown up a little bit, it's also expanded its tastes. I remember where I grew up, which was in Colorado, Boulder, Colorado, at the time. It wasn't like you could walk out your door and go get international cuisine. There were Italian restaurants. There were, you know, diners and stuff. I don't remember ever being taken to a Mexican restaurant or a Greek. There were no Greek restaurants where I grew up. When I grew up, I guess I should say when I grew up. All right, and we're stirring, and it's time now to add the next ladle of chicken broth. Just stirring it some more. I don't remember any Indian restaurants. I don't remember anything except Italian. Now, that could have been a reflection of not just where I lived, maybe, but a reflection of what was considered normal, what kind of restaurants could make money at that time. Who knows? I'm really glad, though, that things have expanded. I mean, I have some great recipes on the website, for instance. But I don't know that I've made anything that my mother would have made except her potato salad, which is on the website. Oh, that's something else she made. She made fried chicken. She made better fried chicken than I do. I'm still working on that. But there's a butter chicken thing, which is a lovely Indian dish that I've kind of been craving and probably will go back and make in the next few days for dinner here at home. And things my mother would consider weird, like vegan things or vegetarian things, the squash. She would never probably eat squash. If I served her squash, I don't know what she'd do. I honestly don't know what she'd do. That makes it worth the experiment, maybe, just to find out what she would do. If all I put in front of her was a squash stuffed with vegetables and beans, and, you know, garlic and onions and topped with pistachios. That's the recipe that I have on the website. I have no idea what she would do. I'm trying to picture what her face would look like. I think it, Well, so anyway, I don't imagine I'm the only one in this boat where you've learned to eat more sophisticatedly, if there's such a word. More internationally, more funly for sure, because you know, meat and potatoes are, I love meat and potatoes, but it only goes so far. You gotta have other stuff in your repertoire. All right, this is starting to look like it might not hold a lot more liquid. There should come a point where the part that you make in the risotto kinda doesn't start to dry out. Keep the heat going under there. Well, I've got probably one more ladle of broth here. I'm still getting apart. All right, so let's put the last of the broth in. And I'll just tell you now, and then you can turn that burner off, that if the broth isn't enough, if your rice still really looks like it should have more liquid to it, and if you take a grain out, let it cool for a second, and then chew it, and it's hard, then you can start using water, but don't use cold water. The reason that we heated the broth is because if you add cold water to this, it totally throws off the chemistry that makes the rice creamy like this. It needs to stay hot and not be continuously cooled down by adding cold liquid to it. So if you choose to add water, you better put it in the saucepan and crank it up for a minute until it gets to where it's at least steaming. I don't think we're going to need it, honestly. So I still have soup again. I'd turn mine down to about 3. I just turned it back up to 4. If you've never had risotto, this is going to come as a really lovely revelation. I had no prior experience, I don't think, until I actually cooked it. And what I read about it, well, what I read about it was that it was creamy and it had butter and cheese. And that's really, you know, really all you have to say to me for me to become interested in a recipe. Is it still parting? Yeah, not really. It's more soup, so I'm going to keep stirring for a few minutes. Meanwhile, look to be sure all your other ingredients are on hand, because the things that aren't already in are about to go in kind of a really sort of quick, steady way here. Get the rice to where it parts again. I'm going to pull out a grain and see how we're doing. It's tricky. Don't burn your mouth on it. And don't let the risotto burn in the pouch. That was my finger. Huh. Still a little chewy. I might actually need to add a little water to this. I'm going to turn it down again now. Yeah, we're starting to get that part. So I recommend that you take out a grain or two and check it. Because this is really, I'm adding a little water. That's what you heard me do, is just add water to the saucepan, and I'm turning that up to high to just get it steaming. You get to choose how done you want the rice, but you don't want it crunchy. That's counter to what risotto wants to be. So you don't want it crunchy, but the resistance, the al dente part, that's kind of up to you, really. How chewy do you want it? How soft do you want it? The thing is, if you want it softer, you got to keep adding the liquid to it, because you can't just let it cook in the pan, because it'll dry out too much, right? You need to get it so when you're ready to take it off, it's still doing that Red Sea parting. I wish I could find a better word for that, and I'm sure there is a word. It's probably Italian. I'm sure there's a word for it. I think I've actually seen it. I want mine just a little softer than what it was a second ago. So I'm still stirring it. Waiting for that extra water, which is maybe a ladleful, to heat up. And for this rice, the risotto, the rice, to get to where it's not soup and it's leaving that bare space at the bottom of the pan when I scrape it, which is coming up real fast here. Okay, water, are you hot? You are. Cool. All right. I'm going to put that in here. And if that isn't enough, I can't imagine that it won't be enough. So doing the same thing again, turning it back up again. If yours is done, I should just let you move on here, because you don't want to sit here waiting for me. What you do next is stir in the Parmesan and the Gruyere. Stir them both in. Stir in the peas. Stir in the squash. See, I want to catch up with you. I hope you're not ahead of me. I really do. Turning this back up to 5. Because it's not done when it's soupy. It has to be not sticking to the bottom much. Having a slow fill in when you make that line. It kind of looks like your morning oatmeal, your hot cereal, except it doesn't smell that way because of all those fabulous herbs we put in here. Wow, okay. If you've already stirred your stuff in, then you're ahead of me. Take it off the heat. All right, take it off the heat. There's one more thing we've got to do before you serve it. But you should be calling everybody to the table now. For those of you who are still with me, stirring in this last ladle of water. Just keep going. Be patient. It'll do its thing. It will. All right, there she blows. Here we go. In goes the Parmesan. In goes the Gruyere. Turning the heat back down to 3. And I'm just stirring that around for a minute here so it can kind of distribute. You'll see that it's kind of lumpy, and particularly the Gruyere is going to need a minute to melt and assimilate in. Actually, just turn the heat off. We don't need it anymore. Turn the heat off. Stir on that cheese. You don't want lumps of it. You want it all smoothed around. It becomes part of a sauce. All right, now reach over, get your peas, dump the peas in, and the squash. Dump the squash in. Not the squash. Dang, see? That's what happens when you change a recipe. The sweet potatoes, or squash if you're using squash. The sweet potatoes, dump those in. Stir everything together till it's all distributed around in the rice. Ah. Okay, a last step. Get ready to put this on the table. The last step is 2 tablespoons of butter. You should have 2 tablespoons of butter left. Throw that into the pot. Stir it around and let it melt. And then put this on the table. Now that you know how to make a risotto, you can change it up. Feel free to try mushrooms sauteed. Be sure they're cooked before you put them in. Or other kinds of vegetables, broccoli, anything that your imagination can think of. You can also change the seasonings if you want something else to try. But now that you know the basic principles of risotto, make it your own. Have fun. If you have questions about this recipe, let me know. Contact me through the website. I'll be happy to answer any questions you have or address any issues you might have had when you made this with me. Like I said, it's not hard. It just requires attention and timing, really. And that is just about having everything ready to go on the counter. So that's it for today. I hope you enjoy your dinner. And until next time, happy cooking.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
If you're enjoying this podcast, you can make a contribution through the supporter link on every Cook Along podcast page or go to Ko-fi, ko-fi.com/thecookalongpodcast. Thanks for your support and thanks for listening.